was like, what is he talking about? All right, let's go. Subject for the album. Now, wait, we're going to go back to our classic case. Our case study. We're going to have like a few more versions of this. Case study is Yaakov. Yaakov has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies. His wife Leah falls to Reuven and Shimon.
Tell everyone we're up to.
Was it? Just tell everyone we're up to. Oh, we went to Lamed Chesem Aleph. Anyone who was in here yesterday, six lines down. Yaakov has two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies. And Reuven's wife Leah falls to Shimon. Within 3 months after Reuven has died, Shimon does Yibum to Leah. And 7 months later, she has a baby. That baby is Levi. He's a Suffolk. Is he a 9 month baby to Reuven or a 7 month baby to Shimon? Back into our case. Now remember, now we started a generation earlier with Yaakov. All right. Now we say Suffolk v'Yobam, and he's called the Suffolk. Suffolk v'Yobam Shibol Chalav Nichsei. Saba Suffolk Amar Hai Gavra B'Misnahu Upagadi Diyahu. Yobam Amar Aparai Diyat V'Leis Lochav Lamidi. So Havi Yobam Vaday V'Suffolk Suffolk V'Ein Suffolk Was B'Dei Vaday. Fine. Levi and Shimon, now the case is Yaakov dies. The grandfather was alive when Reuven passed away and this whole event happened. Now Yaakov, the grandfather, has died. Shimon is certainly Yaakov's son. Levi, so he was for sure Yarshin. Levi, however, the Suffolk, and he's the Yobam, right, Shimon. Levi, however, is possibly the son of Shimon and doesn't Yarshin Yaakov, does not inherit Yaakov, or Levi could be possibly the son of Reuven and thus would represent his deceased father in the Yerusha and split the Yerusha with Shimon. So Shimon certainly receives at least half of the Yerusha as the son of Yaakov. Since Levi's a Suffolk, if he does deserve a half or nothing, and Shimon certainly deserves some of the Yerusha, if not all of it, half or all of it, assuming on the tzad that Levi would be his son, he would get all of it. Therefore, Levi's a Suffolk, Shimon is a Vadai, and we say, ain't Suffolk motzi midei Vadai, a case of doubt does not come into play against a case of certainty. All right, Shimon thus inherits the entire Yerusha. Let's continue. So we say, Suffolk b'nei banim, u'b'nei yabam shebo l'chil b'nichse saba, Suffolk amara hu gavar bar misnehu, p'l g'didihu, u'b'nei yabam amri, yachuna av u'manto islucha b'hodun, p'al u'manto islucha b'hodun. The case is the following. Shimon then, our case is again, Yaakov is still alive, Reuven has died, obviously, at first. Then, and Shimon did Yibum to Leah, and they had a son Levi. Then Shimon dies. And Levi and the sons of Shimon come to inherit the Yerusha, the estate of Yaakov. So, Levi says, that I am a representative of Reuven. B'nei Yaakov is at least two. So there's two sons, B'nai Shimon is at least two, B'nai Yobam, minimum two. So Shimon has two sons, and they're coming to argue on the estate with Levi, who's a Suffolk son of Shimon, Suffolk son of Reuven. Levi can say that I deserve half of the estate, because the estate would be split by Yaakov's two deceased sons, Reuven and Shimon. You two represent Shimon, I represent Reuven. I should get half the estate, you'll get the other half. They'll say no. Maybe you're B'nai Shimon, maybe you're a son of Shimon, in which case, that's how we should go. And all three of us will split the estate equally. So between the two of us, we'll take two-thirds and you'll take a third. So how do they split the estate? How do we come out with it? So we say that Pagad the Kamod Lehu Shakle Tilsa the Kamod Le Shokol. Assuming that the case, for example, the estate is worth six Zehuvim. It's not a big estate. It's six Zehuvim. So the half that Levi admits in Levi's claim, he only wants half. He says, you take half, I'll take half. So the half that Levi gives them, they get half of the estate, because that's what Levi, even in his claim, admits that they should get. Fine, because he wants to split it 50-50. They want to split it two-thirds and a third. So the third that they're admitting that Levi should get, Levi gets. In the case of six Zehuvim, the B'nai Shimon take three Zehuvim, Levi takes two Zehuvim, and that last Zehuv, Pashluhu Danka, leaving one Zehuv, one Danka, which will be money left in a Suffolk, money that's debated upon, and that last Zohu will be split. Third case, Saba B'yavim B'nichsei Suffolk, in the case where Levi dies, and Yaakov and Shimon, right, the father and son, they're coming to debate as to who should Yarshin Levi. The father will say, Yaakov, the grandfather will say, no, maybe he's the son of Reuven. And therefore, in Yerusha, the way it always works, it's like a connected dots. You go up to the whoever should Yarshin. If that person is deceased, then that estate passes to whoever would Yarshin that person. So Yaakov will say, well, Levi may be the son of Reuven, so his estate would go to Reuven. Reuven's deceased. Therefore, I, the father, would Yarshin. I am the Yarish of Reuven in this situation. So it would pass to Yaakov. Shimon will say that, no, maybe he's my son and I should Yarshin him. Because in the case where the son doesn't have children, the father Yarshins the son. If there's no father, then the brothers Yarshin the father. That's how it spreads out. Yerusha, we'll go through all of this in Yesh Neuchlin. So if you feel you want to conquer the whole idea of Yerusha, wait till Baba Asra, we'll get there. So the halacha there, we'll see in a second. In that case, neither one really has priority over the other. Maybe the son of Reuven and Yaakov would get it. Maybe the son of Shimon and Shimon would get it. Who would Yarshin Levi, right? Either one. We don't know. It's a 50-50. Or Yaakov and Levi coming to Yarshin Shimon. Levi will say, maybe I'm a son of Shimon, I should Yarshin him. And Yaakov will say, no, maybe you're the son of Reuven, and Shimon didn't have any sons, and I, as his father, will Yarshin him. Right? In either of these cases, it's a 50-50. This one has a claim, and that one has a claim on equal sides of the Suffolk. And if the halacha is that they split the estate. Mishnah. Shemiris Yobam Shnevel and the Chosim of the Mishami Basilis and Mechiris and the Senes Vikayim. I want to give a little bit of a brief background real quick. We're going to get into this in Kasuba, so if it doesn't catch totally, you'll see it again very soon. It's Seder Nashim. So, a woman gets married. The two types of property she brings into the marriage. She brings in a property called Nichsei Tzon Barzel, which is property that she brings in. It becomes the full, the husband has full rights to it, full ownership of it. He does what he wants. And he writes it in an IOU, in a debt, that if I die or divorce you, you will receive the equivalent value of this property. It's included in her kesuba, which is a requirement that the, it might be Minat Torah, it might be Mid Rabbanan, we'll see when we get the kesubas, not really discussed there, discussed in Mishnah and Chumash, but it's a requirement that the husband writes to the wife a value of 100 or 200 zuzim, depending on the situation, that when I die or divorce you, you will receive this much money, so that she's willing to enter the marriage, and so that it's not so easy for people to just divorce their wife, because now you're losing maybe 100 zehuvim. Okay, fine. So that's why they instituted it. Fine. So you have kesuba, which includes property that she brought into the marriage, which is called nichsei tzon barzel, which becomes full ownership of the husband. Now, there's another type of property that she brings into the marriage, which is called nichsei malug. Nichsei malug is property that she owns throughout the marriage. It's with her. It stays with her throughout the marriage, and she leaves with it. The husband, however, has full rights to the use of that property during the period of the marriage. That's called nichsei malug. When we talk about nechassim here, we're talking nechassim malug. When we talk about kesuba, we're talking about the 100, 200 zehuvim that he owes her upon death or divorce in the marriage, upon consummating the marriage that he writes out before the marriage, and the nechassim is on barzel value, which would be put into the kesuba. Okay, that's a background. Shemeres yabam shenafel nechassim, a shemeres yabam, a woman who falls to yibum, and the yabam has not done anything yet, and she inherits property from her family. She inherits nechassim. Modim b'shamei b'silo shemechesu and b'silo v'kayim b'shamei b'silo agree that she is able to sell and give away that property. She has ability to transfer that property. She has full ownership and rights to that property. That her selling or giving it away works. Mesa, in a case where a shemeres yabam owns property and she dies. Mayasa b'kesubasu b'nechassim anechnasim v'yotzenima. What happens to her kesuba that is owed to her from her original husband, and the property of Nichsei Malug, which we call the property that she brings in and takes out with her, as we mentioned, that it stays with her, the husband just has rights to it. That property that she owned at that time from the first marriage in general, or whatever, property that she has. So those Nichsei, her kesuba, what happens to it in the event that she dies as a Shemeres Yobah? Beishamai Rem Yachloku Yorshia Balim Yorshia Av. Beishamai says that the Yorshia Bal, i.e. the Yobam, who is Yoresh, who inherits the estate of the father, there's no children, so it passed to his father, and then if he's dead, then to his brothers. So we call him the Yorshia Bal. It's a reference to the Yobam. Keep that in mind. So the Yorshia Bal split the estate with the Yorshia Av. They split the estate with her family, who would be her Yarshim, her inheritors. And we call it Yarshia Av because, again, she dies, normally the father, in a case where she's not married. If she's married, the husband inherits her, right? If a woman's not married, her father will inherit her. And then if the father's not alive, his estate will pass to his Garshim, which will be the brothers, his sons. So her sons will inherit her, or her father, whoever's around. Fine. That's the halacha. And the idea here, we'll see, is she married and the husband, the Yavam in this case, inherits? Or is she not married and her family inherits her? That's the discussion here. That'll be explained in our Gemara. That's Beis Shammai. Yachloku split it between the inheritors, or potential inheritors. Beis Hillel Amrim, and Beis Hillel says, Nechasim b'chizkasin, we leave everything in its chazaka, i.e., the properties stay, in the event where she dies, the properties stay in the possession of those who currently have possession of them. Kesuba b'chizkas Yerusha Baal, the kesuba, which is a debt owed to her upon the death of the husband. However, if the Yabam does Yibum, she doesn't receive the Ksuba. The Yabam reassumes that first marriage, and therefore she does not receive the Ksuba. She hasn't paid the Ksuba yet. It's just owed to her in this case. Fine. And in Yibum, she's not totally out of the marriage. It hasn't been paid to her. So it's in the possession of the husband's estate, of her original husband's estate, which the Yabam has possession of, has a hold of. So therefore, he has the Ksuba in his possession, even though there's a suffix, is she married, is she not, we'll see. The Yabam maintains what's called chazaka, halachic possession of the kesuba, and therefore he gets the kesuba. She does not, or her side, in this case she has passed away, her side will not receive the kesuba. Kesuba b'cheskes Yoshia Baal, the Yabam gets the Kesuba, and the Chasma Nechasva Yotznima b'cheskes Yoshia Av. And the Nechasim Alug will stay by the possession of the Yoshia Av of her family's side. Her family, we consider her to be the one in physical possession of her Nechasim, right? They're hers. She has possession of those. She's the Muchzuk, and therefore it's in her possession, not the husband's at this time, and we'll view it as therefore being hers for her family to yarshin her, the Yarshaya'av to yarshin it. Fine. And this will all be explained in the Gemara. Do not become too confused, because we're going to come back to the Mishnah, etc. The Gemara, those really are the points in the Mishnah that are going to be discussed in our Gemara today. The Mishnah finishes off with one last halacha. When a person does yibum to a woman, she is like his wife for all matters, as a one would relate to one's wife. However, when you do yibum, although when you marry, you have to assume a kesuba to say that, which is a debt, that upon death or divorce, I owe you from my property 100 zuzim, 200 zuzim. The yabam does not write a new kesuba. The yabam assumes the kesuba of the first husband, and she only has a collateral in that kesuba from property that existed from the first husband's estate, which the yabam yarshin. She does not have a right from her kesuba on the yabam's property. She only has a right to property that the Yabam Yarshin. Ubovad, Shetehe Kesuba on Nichse Baila Harishin. All right, let's go back. So basically, we have two cases. She marries Yabam, she's alive, and apparently everybody agrees. Her property, Nichse Maluk. That's going to be our focus for most of our Gemara. We'll go back to Kesuba later on. Nichse Maluk. She's alive, her property, do what you want with it, right? Yabam, apparently she marries Yabam, she's independent with the Nichse Maluk. It's hers to do what she wants. Then we talk about when she dies. In the Seifa, and who inherits her. And we all of a sudden say that, well, no, Beis Shammai says, Yachloku, right? Yachloku. Now, Beis Hillel Taka says that the Nechasim are her property, and her family yarshins them. They're Becheskes, the Isha, and her family yarshins them. The husband doesn't have a hold on it, so her family can say, well, she has this hold on it, you don't have a hold on it, we yarshin her, we're become her. Okay. But Beis Shammai says, Yachloku, all of a sudden. In the case where she dies, split it. Where did the husband come all of a sudden and have a hold in the Nechse Maluk, according to Beis Shammai, to say that when she dies, the husband's Yarshin, those who have become the husband, split it. The Yarshi Baal split it. Mashna Reisha, the Lo Pligi, Mashna Sevet Pligi. Says the Gemara. Why is it that in the Reisha? There's no Machlokas. Everybody agrees that the Isha has rights and the hold on the Nechse Maluk, and in the Sefer they argue. And Beis Shammai says, no, the husband's side does have still a hold, that Yabam does have a hold on the Nechse Maluk, and therefore he yarshins it. If he has a hold on it, then it's not hers to do what she wants with it, if the husband has a hold on it necessarily, as we'll see. Amar Ula says Ula, and we're going to come out with three answers. Compartmentalize the Gemara. You have to do it because otherwise you get lost. There are going to be three answers to that question that's going to compromise her sugya. Those three answers. We're going to come back to that. and not get lost in the details. Amar Ula. Reish the Nafla Kishi Harusa Vasiv the Nafla Kishi Nesua. The Reish is talking where the property, where the woman, this Shemeres Yabam, was a Shemeres Yabam who was only engaged to her original husband. And the Seifa is talking about a Shemeres Yabam who was married fully to her original husband. The woman will fault the Yibam from Erison, from engagement only. But there's a difference. In the case where she fell from engagement, her property is in her hands. In a case where she fell from marriage, her property is still connected to the husband's estate, and they would have a hold on it. That's Ula's answer. Reisha Erison, Seifa, Shemeres Yabam, from Nisuin, from a marriage. Vikasavar Ula, and Ula's holding, Zikasarusa Osa Safikarusa, that a Shemeres Yabam that falls from engagement is considered to be sort of engaged, sort of not engaged to that Yabam. Again, Shemeres Yabam, that marriage falls down to the Yabam. So it's not going to be in its full-fledged form. It'll be sort of engaged, maybe not engaged, kind of halfway. The equivalent of a suffix. The equivalent of whether or not we were, in a case where we were 50-50 Masupik, is she engaged, is she not? It's the equivalent of that, but in Eichis. So we say, Ula holds that Zika Sarusa is Isis of Garusa. Shemeres Yabam that falls from engagement is considered to be a suffix Arusa. A woman who is in doubt if she's engaged. And Zikas Nesua is a suffix Nesua. And the woman who falls in Yibum from marriage is considered to be a woman who is in a situation of doubt whether she is married or not, i.e. the equivalent of a suffix Nesuin. And we'll explain why we're saying this. It's not full-fledged Nesuin, it's not full-fledged Erison, it's suffix Erison, suffix Nesuin when it falls into Yibum. Zika Saruso, Sasavika Rusa, we say that Zika Saruso, Sasavika Rusa, that a Shemeres Yabam, Mina Erison, a Shemeres Yabam, who falls to Yibam from engagement, is treated as a Safik Arusa, as a woman who is a Safik, whether or not she is engaged. Then if you were to say that it's treated as real Erison, she fell from engagement, and we treat the Yabam as being engaged to her in the state of Shemeres Yabam, if we say that we treat it like real, full-fledged Erison, would Basila say that she, lehatchila, off the bat, is allowed to sell and transfer property, nechsim aluk, that's in her hands, and that the Yabam wouldn't have a hold on it? V'hatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, that nevelon achas mishnah nesas v'sham ayimim timchor b'sila lo simchor, right? Eleva edo moedim, she'im mochur v'nos nakayim. Normal case, a woman's engaged to a man, and we'll see that when she's fully married to the man has full rights to her property. But when she's only engaged, so, and she inherits property, Beis Shammai says, in general, she's allowed to sell it. She can transfer, she has full rights to transfer that property. Beis Shammai says she should not transfer the property. However, both agree that b'di'evad, were she to transfer the property, it would work. B'di'evad, she can transfer the property, but Beis Shammai says she shouldn't. She doesn't really have a full-fledged lehatchila right to do it. So how here can we say that we're understanding our Mishnah to be Mocheres v'no senes v'kayim as lehatchila off the bat, she's allowed to transfer this property of the Nechsim Aluk, property that she inherits as a Shemeres Yavam. Elama, she must not be a full-fledged Arusa, treated as a full-fledged engaged woman when the marriage transforms into the Yibum state. Rather, she's treated as a Suffolk Arusa, a 50-50. And there, Beis Hillel will agree that as a Shemeres Yabam that's in a state of Suffolk Erison, or generally a Suffolk Erison, she can transfer the property even Latchila. Shemamina Zikas Arusa is a Suffolk Arusa. Rather, we see that a Zikas Arusa, a Shemeres Yabam who is falling from engagement, is treated as a Suffolk Arusa. Fine. Zikas Nesua is a Suffolk Nesua, and Ula expressed, as he understood the Reisha to be woman falling into Yibam from engagement, Seifa falling into Yibam, bottom part of Mishnah falling into Yibam from marriage. Why does he have to, why do we say that he has to be holding that Zika's Nesua was a Safik Nesua, that a Shemeres Yabam, the false marriage, is treated as a Safik Nesua, a woman who is in doubt whether or not she's married. It's a doubt whether or not she's married. That's how we treat her. If you were to say we treat it as like she's fully married to the Yabam, so then why does Beis Shammai say Yechloku? Would Beis Shammai say that it's like she's sort of married and therefore, would Beis Shammai say that the her side will yarshin together with the husband's side, as far as who yarshins who? Is it that she has an individual right on it, or the husband has an individual right on it, and therefore they split it? Would Beis Shammai say that if she was really treated as being fully married. But we learned in the Mishnah that Nafla Nechasa Mishnisa say Leve Elamayim Shimach Venas Nahav Shabal Matzmiyad Alakuchas. Right? We say that in general, a woman who's married and she inherits property and she transfers that property, the husband, when he comes home and finds out that you just made like a $50,000 sale, real estate sale, he can undo it. He calls the bank and he says, by the way, she's married. She can't do that. The end. Fine. So she wouldn't have any rights. Her side wouldn't have any rights. It's fully in control of the husband. And therefore, the yabam, who would be bimkoim the husband, who would be in place of the husband, would thus, if we treated it as fully engaged, fully married, a full-fledged state, a marriage state to this yabam, he would have a full right to that property. And she wouldn't be, and her side wouldn't have any rights to it if it translated fully into the yibam stage as married. Rather, it translates into suffix married. So it's a question of, well, if she's married, then the husband has the hold, like in marriage, on inherited property and property in general of the woman. And there is cases where she can have her individual property. We're talking about just property she inherited in general. Maybe she's not married, in which case, right, in the state of Yibam, we treat her as not being married, in which case she independently owns her own property. And when she dies, her family side, Yarshim, her relatives, inherit her. And thus, Beis Shammai says, Yachloku, split it. Beis Hillel note holds, Rashi says that we're talking in this case where she, Beis Hillel says that here we could be talking even in the Seifa, just to throw it out there, I don't want to confuse, but just to cover Beis Hillel, he says we're talking in the Seifa on property that she inherited as a Shemeres Yabam, and then she died. We talk about Nechasim and Nechasim V'yotzanim, not property that was together with the first husband. And because she got it as a Shemeres Yabam, even though she passed away already, right, it doesn't make a difference here. We're talking Eris and Nesuin, that's the whole difference here. But because she got it as a Shemeres Yabam, Basila would hold that, therefore, it's considered to be like she has her own individual property because this was not property that was owned by the original husband. Thus, it wouldn't transfer to the Yabam. That's Basila's argument. Okay, according to this Lashon. All right. So, fine. Elish Mami Nazikas Nesua Osa Suffolk Nesua. We see from here that a Shemeres Yabam who falls from marriage is treated as Suffolk married, as a doubt of whether or not she's married. Rabba says back to him, if the whole difference is whether she's engaged and then falls to Yibam or married and falls to Yibam, so either Miflagi Begufa La Achamiso Liflagi Bechayel La Peris. Why discuss the original property in the case of Nesuin? Why talk about the actual property itself after death, right? Because note only after death will the husband be able to say that I should take the full property. Otherwise, it's hers during her lifetime. The husband, however, would yarshin her. He would inherit his wife. Fine, and therefore he has a claim on the full property of Nechsim Aluk. As we mentioned, Nechsim Aluk are her property that the husband, during the period of marriage, has a full 100% ownership on the use of that property. The payers of that property. Or the fruits of that property, as we call it. Fine. So Rabbi says, according to you, the distinction is engagement and marriage. Say the case is where she's still alive. Make the case similar. Why does he have to say here she's alive in the beginning? And that's Mina Erison. In the case we're talking to Suin, we talk when she fell from marriage, we talk when she's dead. Say the Seifa also where she's alive. Right? Liflagu b'chayel ula peiris. Oh, if she's alive, though, we know that the property is in her possession. Nechsim aluk, she owns the whole time. Just the husband has a right to use. So say the argument as where she's alive, and we're dealing with Nechsim aluk, Mina Nesuin, right? She fell from Nesuin, and she has Nechsim aluk. And we're dealing with the use of the property. The distinction is who gets to use it. And we'll treat her as a Suffolk Nesua. If she's married, the husband, and in this case, the Yabam who's been claimed the husband, right, would have that case of we're treating that as Nesuin, right? If she's married, the Yabam gets to use it. If she's not married, then she would have use of the property. And deal with the use of the property while she's alive. Why make a distinction between death and whether she's still alive, between the Reish and the Sefer? Reish is still alive. We said, well, that's Mina Erison. Sefer is the case where she's dead, and we're saying, well, it doesn't matter if she's dead or alive. Either way, there would be Nesuin, right? There would be Mina Nesuin. Say the case is where she's alive, even in the Seifa, And the use of the property is what's under debate. The ownership of the underlying property is certainly hers. No, therefore we're going on the use, because Nichsa Maluga is always hers. Just the husband can use it. So we Sabik Nisuin, maybe she's married. Yobam, if we consider this to be a marriage between her and the, or an equivalent marriage between her and the, him and the Shemeris Yobam, he can use it. If not, then it's hers and her side would be able to use it. Or she herself would be able to use it, would have the ownership to use it. Fine. And note that these rights to use would prevent sale, obviously. Okay, fine. So that's Rabba's argument. That's Rabba's argument. To make a chilik between the Suin and Erisin doesn't work out because you wouldn't make a distinction in the Mishnah between whether she's alive or whether she's dead. You can have it even if she's still alive in both cases. So this is number two answer in our Mishnah that we're going to come on to. Ella Amar Rabba, right? Number one is Ula, Reisha Erisin. I mean, Erisin, Shemeres Yabam from engagement, Seifa Shemeres Yabam from the Suin. Number two in our Mishnah, why is it different in the Reisha and the Seifa? In the Reisha, it's all hers. She can sell it as much as she wants when she inherits property as Shemeres Yabam. Beishamai agrees. In the Seifa, we say she dies, and all of a sudden, the Yabam, who's becoming the husband, it's not viewed as her property. It's viewed as like the husband's side still has a hold on it. You know, why did that change? That we say Yachloku, that her side and the husband's side split it. Ella Amaraba, Aideva Aide, the Nafla Kishi Nasua, Vizikas Nasua, Osa Safik Nasua. Really, both cases are talking where she fell to Yibum from marriage to the first husband, and a Shemeris Yabum that falls from marriage is treated as Safik married. It's a doubt whether she's married, Safik Nasua. Reisha the Ihi Kayama, Havala Ihi Vadai, Inu Safik, Veemotzi Mide Vadai. Seifa. Seifa, so the Reisha is where she's alive. And therefore, because she's alive, she's a Vadai right to the property, and the husband is only a Suffolk right to the property. But in the Seifa, the Mesa, where she dies, Haluboin Liarish, Vahaluboin Liarish via Chloku. Now note that that she's a vadai right to this property in the sense that she owns and holds and has possession of the property, right? Either way, with Nichsa Maluga, we mentioned she for sure owns the underlying property. The whole discussion is the use of the property, for sure. She has the rights to it. So in the ratio where she's alive, certainly she's the mochsuk. She's the in possession of it. We're going to say a suffik and vadai, but vadai is the person who certainly has some right to it and can sometimes mean the person who the property is in possession of, that they have it as, if we leave the situation alone, they have the right. In this case, it would be both. She has the property, and she has a vadai right to it. She has a vadai claim on the underlying basis of the property. It's hers. The use is only what's up for grabs. Therefore, she's a vadai, and the yobam now is saying, no, but I have a right to use because maybe you're married, so I might be able to use your property. Well, that's a suffix. She has a certain ownership hold in it, and he may have some ownership hold in it. We say, ein suffix motzim de vadai. However, when she dies, that property, forget her underlying ownership or whatnot, that property is up for grabs. If she's married, then that whole property, including the underlying basis, would transfer to her husband, who yarshins his wife. If she's not married, then that whole property with its underlying basis and use goes to her family, because she's not married. So her family yarshins her. So that's why they would split it in the seifa. That's Rabba's answer. Note, I had to write this out. So if I'm looking at this for 5 minutes, give me some time. Okay, fine. So, okay, fine. That goes to her. Okay, so we say, Isavia by, that's Rava's answer. Now, we're going to now challenge the idea that we say, Ain't Savik Motsimi Devada. We mentioned that while she's alive, she has a certain claim to the property. And while when she passes away, then that she does no longer has a certain claim to the property. And that's why all of a sudden the husband, the Yobam here, can say, well, if you're married, it's a 50-50, it's a Suffolk. But in general, if she's alive and she has a hold and she's a Vadai, Ain't Savik Motsimi Devada. And we're going to challenge that. Does Beishamai really say, Ain't Suffolk Mutzim Devadai? And that's going to be the rest of our Gemara until that last line, which we're going to get to because we're going to finish the daf today, everybody. All right. Now, note, you might be a little bit like taken aback. Like, a woman doesn't own any of her property. That's not right. You know, the husband owns everything. That's not fair. It doesn't really happen nowadays. My wife owns all the property. Like, that doesn't really happen. So, and even Kasuba women don't get nowadays because everything winds up being a divorce property settlement because you can't divorce a woman against her will. So she's going to bargain up. So, fine. Okay, just to throw that out there, it doesn't really work like that anymore. All right, let's continue. So, fine. So, does Beis Shammai hold? Isavi Abai says Abai, Beis Shammai and Suffolk Motzi Midei Vadai? Beis Shammai, a Suffolk can't be Motzi from a Vadai? Does he really hold that? V'atnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Navalabayas alavi alma rishav. We're going to say the cases where a house fell down. There was a son and a father in it, or a son and some other relative who the son would inherit in the house. And we don't know who died first. V'hayu alav kesubasisha ubalchov. And the father, we'll go with the son and father. The father has other sons that are alive and not in that house. And this son who died has a wife who wants her kesuba. And the balichovos, he has debts, he has creditors, and he doesn't have any money. The father has a lot of money, the son doesn't have any money, maybe something happened, I don't know, it's not my business. So we say, fine. So we say, what do we do? Yarshia av omrim haben meisrishin v'yachakach meisa av. Ubalchov omer haav meisrishin v'yachakach meisa ben. So the yarshia haav, brothers, his brothers, will say that what happened was, maybe, the son died first, our brother died first, and then the father inherits the brother, and we inherit the father, and you, creditors, the wife of our deceased brother, who want to have a claim on him, you don't actually take a chelek, he doesn't have a right to our Yerusha. You don't take his portion, right? We will inherit the portion. And since the husband doesn't have any money, so okay, you're left without anything. We'll inherit our father, who inherited our brother. And you're not in the Yerusha. But the woman and the Balechovos, they'll say that no, the father died first, so his chelek at that time when he died passed to the son, who was still in the house, not yet dead, as well as the other brothers. And we, the creditors, as well as the deceased's wife, will divide his property that he inherited from his father. So okay, everyone clear on that. Beishamai umrim yachloku. Beishamai says split it. Ubeis Hillel umrim, right? They split the chelek of the father that the son would have yarshined. Say it's like there's two other brothers besides this brother who was in the house and died. So that third of the father's estate will be divided, which is under debate, will be divided between the creditors and the wife who would be in bimkoim the husband's estate, or at least have rights to the husband's estate, and the yarshei ha'av, the other brothers. Bishamai says, Yachloku split it, Bishilah lomrim nechasim bichas kasin. Bishilah says, keep the nechasim bichas kasin in their chazaka, in their possession of them, which would be the other brothers. Because again, the other brothers certainly will yarshin the estate. They have a vadai claim to the estate. Right? These balichovos, they're going to yarshin no matter what. So it's a question of two-thirds or the whole thing. These the balchov and the ishu are coming in the place of the deceased son. They're saying, well, it might be that the father died first, and therefore we have a claim. So the other brothers are a vadai, the Yarshei Av are a vadai, and the Baal Chov and the Isha are a suffik. And Beis Shammai says, Yachloku, split it. Of a hocha, Yarshei Av vadai, Baal Chov suffik, because the suffik commences with a vadai, right? But over here, the Yarshei Av are a vadai, and the Baal Chov is a suffik, and how can the suffik be mutzi from a vadai? You said by Beis Shammai, he holds that ain't suffik mutzi with a vadai. That's a bias kasha. So we say, Kasavar Beis Shammai, shtar malikbis kigavoi dami. Beis Shammai holds that a shtar that stands to be collected. Generally, when you have a baal chuv, you have an isha, ksuba is always written in a shtar, it's a document, right? A baal chuv, a debt, is in the document. Those documents, when you have a document, it's like the property's been already collected. It's like you have possession of the property. And therefore, in the event that the father died and the son would yarshin, it's like the creditors and the wife actually possess that part of the estate. They're holding that part of the estate of the father's estate, a third of the father's estate, and the other brothers are saying, no, because maybe you shouldn't have it. Even though if you left the situation, you would have it. Therefore, you're like, we're treating this as a vadai, because of their chazaka, as I mentioned before, we'll call that a vadai here. But they have physical possession, and you can't, hamotzi mechavero olavaraya. That's really what we're saying here, is ain't hamotzi mechavero olavaraya. Hamotzi mechavero olavaraya. They are holding onto it, and the one who wants to take it away, to change the situation, has to bring a proof, right? They would actually have physical possession of the estate through their shtar, and therefore, in the case where the son died first, then the Yarshei Av, the other brothers, physically, right now, possess the estate, they have the right, and the Baal Chuv is the outsider claiming it. But on the side that the father died first, for that third of the estate that the son would yarshin, the Baal Chovos, the creditors, they're actually holding that property, and the Yarshei Av are the ones on the outside saying, give it to us. So it winds up being a 50-50, because shtar amid lik bis kegavoi dami, because a shtar that stands to be collected is like it's already been collected. Okay. Umana Seimer, where do you see this? that none of the Mishnah. Mesa by Leon Achalosha, so a woman is a sota, right? She had kinois, theory, she secluded herself with a man, and we know she secluded herself, and now she has to ask the shlepper to be some mikdash, and they have to do drink the maim hamarim, right? They have to drink the mesota, the waters, the sota waters. So what if the husband dies? If the husband dies before she drinks, she doesn't drink. That's the rule. The husband has to be alive. From the pasuk, we learn it out. So what happens if the husband dies? She doesn't drink. So the question is, she's a suffix soita. Maybe she was mazana. A woman who's mazana doesn't get her kasuba, right? Maybe she wasn't mazana and she does get her kasuba. So the question is, does she get her kasuba? She right now doesn't own it. She doesn't have it in her possession. It's in the husband's estate's possession. He only pays it after he dies, and she doesn't have a vadai claim to it. She only has a suffix claim to it because maybe she was mazana. So it would be a case of suffix mitzvah devadai. Let's see what happens. Beishamay erim notlos kesubasin v'nishosos. Beishamay says they take their kesubah, they don't have to drink it. Beishamay erim moshosos olo notlos kesubasin. Beishamay says they either drink or they don't take their kesubah. Right? So what does he mean? Oshosos, what do you mean? You have to drink? She can't drink. The husband's dead. V'heviya ishas ishto. Amarachmana. The Torah says that the man brings his wife to drink the mesota. So if he dies, she can't drink. So what is that statement of Beis Hillel? We say Valeka, right? You don't have the husband here. Elami Tochshalo shows us Lonot Kusubasin. Beis Hillel says that the property is in the possession of the husband's estate, not her. And because she isn't going to drink and be thus Mavarer, thus clarify that she is not a Sota, that she was not Mazana, she can't do that. So she is a Suffolk, right? So she doesn't take her Kusuba. Very good, because it would be a case of suffix mitzvah devadai. And Beis Hillel says, put the nechasim biches kasim in the husband's estate. She can't take it. Beis Shammai says, I don't care if she can't drink. It's a suffix. She still gets to take it. So we ask, v'ha, hacha, the suffix who was suffix, right here, over here, she's a suffix. Suffix zanai, suffix lo zanai, maybe she was zanai, maybe she wasn't. Asi suffix mitzvah devadai, and we're saying that the suffix can come, this sota can come and take the kasuba from the vadai, from the husband's estate, who was in possession of that property that's in collateral for the kasuba. Elish mami no, how can that be? Ain't suffix mitzvah devadai? Rather, it must be because star amelipas kegavodami, because a star that stands to be collected is like it's already been collected. So it's like she has the property, and the husband's estate is claiming maybe you don't get that because maybe you were mazana. Well, she's the vadai, she's got it, and now the husband's estate is the outsider claiming, well, maybe on the 50-50 chance that you shouldn't have it. We don't do that. Ain't suffik motzi. A suffik cannot take it out from a vadai, who would it be assumed were the situation to be left alone to have it. Okay. Let's see. V'abaye lo zvei maha. Why does Abaye, when he asks, Abaye originally asks a question, does Beis Shammai really hold it in suffik motzi devadai? We have this case of father and son in their house, and the house falls down, and right? Why didn't he bring it from this Mishnah in Sota? Right, it's better. That's in Seder Nezik, and here's in Seder Nashim. Already in Seder Nashim. Better to bring from something we're going to see soon, and we'll know what it's talking about. So that's the idea. So why does Abaye ask from the Mishnah in Sota? To show, ain't suffik motzi devadai, and then we'll answer, shtar amid ligvas kegavoy dami. Right? Why didn't he bring that as his question again on a challenge to Ula that who says Beis Shammai holds that ain't suffik motzi devadai? It seems from this Mishnah in Sota that he doesn't. Sounds from this Mishnah that a suffik could be motzi from a vadai. maybe you should bring it. Why doesn't he ask from that Mishnah? We say dim kesubas isha shani mishum chena. It could be different in the Mishnah there because kesubas isha, we would assume, even though a normal star, we might think is not kigavoy dami. It's not like it's already been collected. It doesn't give the owner of that star a physical hold on the property. Maybe kesuba does. Because they would make kasuba better, in general, to encourage women to get married. That's what I'm saying, is that women should feel secure in getting married, and if their kasuba is stronger, then it will be it'll be more of an encouragement. Mishum chena, there'll be matzachen be'eneim to marry them. There'll be matzachen with the women that they should marry them. Fine. And in general, kasuba, by many opinions, is, or at least in its developed form, is a rabbinic enactment to protect the woman's rights in general. Okay. Fine. So therefore, he would, even if he didn't know, Abaye didn't know, Shtarim and Levis Kegavodami, and had a question, though this looks like Savak Motzim and Evadai, and he didn't know that rule of Shtarim and Levis Kegavodami, as we've been answering these Mishnayas, he would know in Sota that that's an exception because Kesuba would be Kegavodami because of Mishum Chena. That's our answer. Velozve Kesuba de Masnisen. Why doesn't he ask from the kasuba of our Mishnah? That's what we ask here. Why doesn't he ask from the kasuba of our Mishnah? That's the kasha. Because if we think about it, by the ksuba, right? By the ksuba has not been yet been collected by her. And in our Mishnah, right, she passes away. The cases where she has died, Beis Shammai says Yachloku. Now the ksuba we already mentioned has not been collected by her. It's in the husband's estate. And we say she's only Suffolk married, Suffolk not married. If she's not married, if she's considered not married, then the ksuba would be considered would be in her possession at this time because the original marriage state would have canceled. And she would have the rights to her kasuba, maybe. She could claim her kasuba. Maybe I deserve my kasuba. And it would be like her within her general estate, even if she doesn't physically possess. Or maybe she's married, considered married to the yabam, and the kasuba would translate, is considered to be in the possession of the yabam, who's become the husband, because she's still considered to be married, as that original marriage would continue to the yabam. So we have physical possession of the property that the kasuba has a claim on in the possession of the yabam, and a woman on the outside claiming that maybe the marriage is terminated and I now have a full right to the ksuba. Maybe there's no state of marriage and the ksuba property should be in my hands, should be in my the rights of my estate. She's a Suffolk, they're a Vadai, they're in possession. And Beis Shammai says Yachloku. And note, because she has died already, we don't say that ksuba would be, should misvara, I wouldn't say that ksuba has a strength of Mishum Chena. Because we don't give extra strength to kasuba unless it affects the woman herself. Here it's just would be affecting her yarshim, and therefore her inheritors do not, we never play out the kasuba to treat it as extra strong for any reason, mishum chena, that's not as far as we treat it any differently for purposes of the yarshim, of the inheritors. Rashi speaks that out. So ask from our Mishnah. Ask from kasuba of our Mishnah. She dies, she miserable dies, we say the kasuba, yachloku. Tzavik mutzim edei varai. She might not own it. Why don't we ask from our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara. This is all going in Rabbah. Note. Asks the Gemara, right? V'hokatani. We learned in a, right? We say, V'lozvei ksuba, the masnisen. Oh, so we say, V'lozvei ksuba, ask from ksuba. We say, the masnisen, right? V'lozvei ksuba, the masnisen. Ask a kash from ksuba, from Mishnah. On Beis Shammai. That seems like something is motzim edevada according to Beis Shammai. Lo pligi. We answer lo pligi. They're not arguing in ksuba in the Mishnah. They're only arguing, Beis Shammai says yachloku. That's only with the nichsim aluk. But the ksuba certainly is in the chazaka of the yabam, of the husband's side. She does not get that. That's agreed to. We ask, but the Mishnah says, Mesa mayas b'ksubas b'nechaz b'nechaz v'yotzimima. B'shem b'mechleku, yoshe b'alim yoshe av b'silim b'nechaz b'chaz kasin. The Mishnah says, what do you do with ksuba when she dies? She mercy when dies. What do you do with her ksuba, property that's owed to her ksuba? And the nechase nechsem alug. What do you do with those? And B'Shamay says Yechloku. So we're talking about the ksuba. And B'Shamay is saying Yechloku on the ksuba. Isn't it? It goes to the husband's side. We say Hachik Amar. This means to say Mesa Mayas B'Ksubasa V'Shavka. The Gemara reads the mission like this. She dies. Mayas B'Ksubasa. What happens to her ksuba? V'Shavka. We don't discuss that. We just ask what happens with the ksuba, and that's just left. That's not discussed. V'Shavka. We drop that topic. Then the Mishnah picks up Nechasim and Nechnas V'Yotznima, but the nechasim nechnasim vayotzimima, but her nechsim alug on that Beis Shammai mechloku yorshe balam yorshe av, her side yarshins with the her family yarshins with the previous husband's inheritors, i.e. the yabam. Ubeis Hillel omrim nechasim b'ches kasin, and Beis Hillel says the nechasim are b'ches kasin, the nechasim are in their chazaka. Note that what do you mean we leave it? The Mishnah said it, and then we just like leave it. What do you do with the kasuba? And the Mishnah's like, let's talk about something else, right? Probably not. So what it means is, what do you do with Mayas B'Ksubasa is a way of expressing, what will happen with the Ksuba is a way of expressing nothing happens with the Ksuba. They keep the property. The property doesn't transfer, right? The husband's estate has physical possession. They maintain physical possession. It doesn't go to her. That's how you have to read that. Let's continue. So we say, Amar Vashi Masnisa Namidaika. Says Ravashi, have a raya to this, that they're only arguing by Nechsim Alug in the Seifa. Why? Diktani, that it says Yachloku Yorshi Abalim Yorshi Ab. Because when Beis Shammai says Yachloku in the Seifa of our Mishnah, he says that the Yorshi Habal will Yarshin with the Yorshi Ab. Right? But that would imply Velokitani Yorshi Abim Yorshi Abal. It doesn't say that the Yorshi Habal, the Yobam Yarshins with her side, her relatives. It says, Beis Shammai says, her relatives Yarshin with the Yobam. I'm sorry. Beis Shammai says, the Yabam, It's always bad when I like stress something and I'm totally off. It says, Yoshia Balim Yoshia Av, right? Yoshia Balim Yoshia Av, the Yobam will inherit with her family. It doesn't say her family will inherit with the Yobam. Meaning, we are dealing, Bisham is coming to say that which you would assume is by her family, the Yobam also has a claim to. And what is that? As Beis Hillel paskens in the Mishnah, that Nechasin Pechizkasin, the Nichsim Alug, go to her family. The Kesuba goes to the husband. On that Beis Shammai, well, it's really in, out of order, but Beis Shammai on that is arguing and saying that no, the Yarshi Abal, the husband, i.e. the Yabam here, the other husband's Yarshim, the Yabam Yarshims, the Yabam will take a Chelek in that which you assume would be only by the Yarshi Abal, only by her relatives, which is the Nichsim Alug. Okay. Shmami Na. Abai Yamar, says Abai, Resha the Nafalah Kashish Meir Siyabam. Abai is number three. Understanding of Mishnah, we have like 2 more minutes. Maybe we'll go back to like the Malach Masa Bechalov thing. I don't know. So we say Abai Yamar, Resha the Nafalah Kashish Meir Siyabam, Seifa the Nafalah Kashihi Tachtav Debal. Says Abai, I have another distinction in our Mishnah. Abai says, this is our third understanding. We're going to recap so we all come out with something. Abai Yamar, Resha the Nafalah Kashish Meir Siyabam. The Resha is where the property falls to her when she is a Shemir Siyabam. And the husband's side never had, the original husband never had a right to it, so that right does not pass on to the Yabam. The original husband didn't have a claim. The Yabam is only as strong as the husband, so he doesn't develop a claim on property that the original husband didn't have a claim to, because the property fell to her as a Yavama. But Seifa, the Nafalah, because she tacht of the Baal. But the Seifa is talking where the property fell to her when she was under the husband, when she was married to the original husband, and thus, at least a Suffolk in the Suah, which whatever is a Suffolk in the Suah, in that case, when she falls to the Yabam, it'll be a little watered down. But if the husband had a full claim to this property, the Yabam will have at least a half, an equivalent half of a claim to the property to split the property in the event of death. V'ksavar Abaye, yado ki yada. Abaye thus holds, and we're getting into this tomorrow, Abaye thus holds that a woman, even in the marriage, when we say the husband is able to stop her from doing anything, right? He can undo her transactions. Even in a full marriage, he's only as strong as the wife. And therefore, when it translates to Yibum and it gets watered down, according to Abaye, by Beis Hillel, meaning Beis Hillel would hold Yadok Yadok. Beis Hillel would hold it the equivalent, and therefore, when it gets watered down into the Yibum state, Beis Hillel holds the Chasim Bichas Kasa. She has the stronger hand, because even the original husband was only as strong as her, and that's why he was able to cancel her out. Beis Shammai will hold that the original husband has a stronger hold in the property, and therefore, when it waters in down into Yibum, Yachloku, they split it. We'll stop there.
Good. A couple blocks back, we argued about Zeka and not Zeka. Zeka being this immediate, almost marital attachment.
Yeah, there's a lot of over... That, this is what makes Yavamas hard, is that there's a lot of...